What do we really know about Robert Mercer, the influential donor in conservative politics who helped President Trump get elected, the New York billionaire behind Cambridge Analytica, the money behind Breitbart News? Well, it turns out he and his son-in-law are also former volunteer members of a police force in a small New Mexico town. And reporter Zachary Miter has been looking into that part of the story for Bloomberg Businessweek. He's been covering Robert Mercer for the past 2.5 years. Zach, welcome.
Glad to be here.
How did a guy in his 70s from Long Island, New York, get to wear a badge in this postage stamp-sized town in Lake Arthur, New Mexico?
So Robert Mercer is really interested in guns. We know that he's a supporter of Second Amendment gun rights. He has a pistol range in his basement. And it seems to be that Lake Arthur, New Mexico, this tiny town in rural New Mexico, was essentially a way for Mercer to get a police badge, which would allow him to carry a concealed weapon anywhere in the country.
And he went to this little town. As you say, it's tiny. Population 433. You write that it's a town so small that it has no stores. I mean, what's his life like there? He's interacting mm-hmm. with the police department. He's got, you know, a sheriff in charge. What's going on?
Sure. So it's a very unusual police department there. There's, you know, Chief Will Norwood is the sole kind of, full-time person there. He's got a couple of part-time officers who help him out. And then he's got this huge number of reserve officers. And these are people from all over the country, people like Mercer, who don't really have any ties to Southeast New Mexico at all, who sort of volunteer their time. And in exchange, they get this badge, which makes them full law enforcement officers, allowing them to carry a concealed weapon at all times.
Did Robert Mercer go on patrol in this town?
So we asked the police department about what his actual contributions were, and they insisted, without really giving much detail, that he met the requirements of being a police officer there, which involve, you know, a minimum of 6 days of patrol per year. We didn't get any records that would verify that, but they insisted that for most of the time he was a police officer, he was fulfilling those requirements.
You write about some of the training that these reservists may have gotten, and that there's sniper training, there's training in how to blast a hole through a door, and you kind of make this point that it looks more like something that a bunch of guys who love guns would be participating in rather than something that could ever conceivably happen in this tiny town called Lake Arthur. So, I mean, were they getting legitimate police training?
So some of the training was obviously not what you would expect the first thing to teach volunteer kind of backup reserve officers in a small town, sniper training that's essentially like for urban warfare. So it seemed like an aspect of this program was that it was just kind of like a club for guys to do cool stuff. A lot of them are former Navy SEALs. They're people who are in the firearms industry, and many of them are also professional bodyguards, people who, you know, provide executive protection for corporate CEOs and rich people, things like that.
So you've alluded to this idea that Mercer could have done this because he wanted permission to carry a concealed weapon anywhere in the country. There is this law, 2004, Congress passed. It's called the Law Enforcement Officers Safety Act, which essentially codifies that.
That's right. And so what I'm describing in Lake Arthur is you could almost think of it as a loophole in the sense that when Congress passed this in 2004, the idea behind it was to protect officers' safety, police officers' safety, and maybe also the general public by having officers make it easier for off-duty officers to be armed.
After this law was passed, there was some criticisms of police forces around the country, I understand, that were handing out these badges like the ones that Robert Mercer got, calling them badge factories. I mean, is there any evidence that shows that that's exactly what was happening in New Mexico?
The New Mexico, Lake Arthur Police Department insists they're not a badge factory. They say that they set up this program to help achieve the mission of the police department and that everybody who gets a badge has to do a lot of volunteer service to qualify. But there is a kind of financial aspect to the transaction in Lake Arthur because Mercer, a foundation that he supports, gave a grant to the Lake Arthur Police Department. And his son-in-law was also involved in setting up a nonprofit that helped direct tens of thousands of dollars to the Lake Arthur Police Department.
And Robert Mercer lives in Suffolk County, New York, Long Island, where it's very, very difficult to carry a concealed weapon no matter who you are.
That's right. I mean, there's this case that's famous in gun circles, a guy who in Suffolk County who applied for a concealed carry permit because he actually helped the FBI take down an outlaw biker gang. Huh. And some of these gang members were getting out of prison many years later. He asked, and you're supposed to prove extreme immediate danger. That's the threshold for getting a concealed carry permit. And the department actually ruled that he failed to prove that, and so they didn't give him a concealed carry permit. That's how hard it is to get one in Suffolk County, New York.
Did Mercer talk to you for this story, explain at all why he was doing any of this?
No, he's basically never talks to the press at all about anything. I don't think he's ever given an interview about his political beliefs, which are obviously, you know, the most newsworthy thing about him.
Well, he is this enigma in American politics who just sort of showed up on the scene relatively recently with the election of Donald Trump. And what else can you tell us about this man who is such a mystery? We know he loves guns. You've been laying that out for us. You know he owns a gun company as well. You've also described him as kind of like the most interesting man in the world, the guy from the beer commercials.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, what other light can you shed on Robert Mercer for us?
Well, so Mercer just seems to like to do a lot of very interesting things. You might say quirky. He supports a lot of like kind of fringe science ideas and has some very kind of unconventional views about economics. He wants to return to the gold standard. And so what I see is kind of the common theme in that and also in his business career as a hedge fund manager, as he's sort of a common theme in his life has been that he's always been skeptical of the conventional wisdom and has been kind of unafraid to do things in a totally different way. And, you know, backing Steve Bannon a couple of years ago when Bannon was, you know, not really an important person in Republican politics is probably another example of that, and one that a bet that turned out to be, you know, incredibly successful and you know, foresightful.
How does Mercer's interest in guns influence his politics?
That's a great question and one that I'd love to ask him. I mean, clearly that's one of the things he cares about in politics. When he issued a rare statement with his daughter one time when he mentioned a few of his most important political priorities, and gun rights was among them. So that's clearly it. But he's interested in a lot more things in politics just than guns.
You've got to wonder if his positioning in American politics helps not only just his interest in guns as well, but his corporate, his financial interests in the industry itself.
That's right. So in addition to his kind of personal interest in guns, he also has investments in gun companies. He has a company in New York, in Nevada, that has that's kind of a gun dealer and has tried to kind of dabble in international arms dealing of small arms and ammunition. And he's also recently purchased a gun manufacturing facility in South Carolina that makes assault-style weapons. It's hard to know, though. I mean, it kind of looks from a business perspective like the election of Donald Trump would have been pretty terrible for business because, you know, getting a strong gun rights supporter in office like Donald Trump meant that the short-term demand for assault-style weapons really fell through the floor.
Right. Everyone rushed out when Obama was elected because they felt like the guns were going to be regulated.
That's right. And they might have continued that more if Hillary Clinton was in the White House. But with Trump, the pressure was kind of off and sales really fell. And, you know, one of the biggest gun makers in the country just filed for bankruptcy. And it probably hasn't been good for sales at Mercer's gun company.
Zachary Miter, a reporter for Bloomberg News, telling us this fascinating story about the billionaire Robert Mercer. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Peter.
And Zach says Mercer and his son-in-law left the Lake Arthur Police Department last September. We do not know if Mercer is still allowed to carry a concealed weapon. He could be if he found his way onto another police force. And that is exactly what Zach says he's looking into right now.